1, 2, 3, hit it.
Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. This is You Can Have What You Want. Our topic for today is fitting it all in. How do you fit a whole life into 24-hour days? They only make the days 24 hours big. It's kind of way too small, sometimes seems. And my very special guest for today is Jennifer Loudon, who, as well as being a good friend, is a personal coach, radio show contributor, columnist for Body and Soul magazine, and author of several books, including the best-selling Woman's Comfort book, and her newest book, The Life Organizer, A Woman's Guide to a Mindful Year, tips, stories, and prompts to focus your needs and navigate your dreams. So we will be taking your calls in the second and third segments of the show today. The numbers to call if you want to get in are 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. And you can reach us from outside the United States on 001-760-918-4300. And as I say, we'll be taking your calls in the second and third segments of the show. But if you want to get in now to be sure you actually get on air, you can listen to the show while you are on hold. And with that said, let me bring my co-conspirator, Jen Loudon, onto the air. Jen, welcome to the show.
I love conspiracies.
Yes. So let's see, where should we start? Washington?
No, this is where we're going to start, because this is what I'm really, really passionate about right now, and you're going to talk about it, damn it. And that, and I love that I can say damn it on satellite radio, by the way.
Isn't it fun? Isn't it?
It
you
is
and
fun.
Howard Stern, he
I
hated
know.
Not being able to say damn it.
Yeah. he did, me too. So the Berlin Wall of Busyness, this is the conspiracy we are going to bust right now.
Excellent.
And what is the Berlin Wall of Busyness, Michael Neal wants to say?
Well, I'm sorry, my script didn't arrive. What is the Berlin Wall of Busyness, Jen? Jennifer Loudon, best-selling author?
Very good. Get in the name of the book, too. So this is what I'm curious about. This is my curiosity. Are we really too busy, too overwhelmed, you know, blah, 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 or are we believing it, but kind of buying a story, and if we start to change the story, we can actually have a life that feels more spacious, more delicious, more better.
So in other words, is the emperor of busyness wearing new clothes?
Yes. I'm really curious about this. I'm really wondering, you know, I've been doing a ton of radio with, you know, AM, you know, 369 and, you know, Wichita. And the questions over and over again are basically like, oh, you know how busy we are. You know, it's really simple ways that we can change. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to buy it anymore. I'm not going to buy that everybody's that busy. I just think you are.
Okay, so let me tell you my morning.
Okay.
Okay, and
you're an exception to the rule. You're an exception to all the rules, Michael Neal.
Well, listen, if there's a Berlin Wall, damn it, I want to climb it. So let me just give an example, because to me, my morning was an example of how the universe can actually work with you
to get an incredible
amount done.
Okay.
So I do a weekly, every Wednesday evening, I do a sort of a midnight hike with my best friend. We've been doing it for about 18 years, and we talk about the world and its wife. And so I tend to sleep in a little bit on Thursday mornings, and my five-year-old decided that this wasn't going to be one of those mornings. So I got up around 7 or 8, somewhere in there, I don't know, it was dark. And I came down, and I started clienting at 8:30. So I started working with clients, and the schedule said, I looked at my schedule and I said, okay, from 8:30 to 11, you're going to be working with clients, then you get a break, and then you're going to do the show. And I turned on my email at about 8:15, and there were two emails in and amongst the 100 other emails that said urgent today, and one of them was they wanted me to sign off on text for an event I'll be doing with the Learning Annex in Los Angeles in May, and the text was all wrong. And the second was there was a magazine in London that wanted an article from me for their June issue, but they needed it today. And so I looked at my schedule and I thought, I have 15 minutes now, and then I have my relaxing hour before the radio show. What shall I do? Now, what I've learned is that the universe accommodates intention. So I just said, well, I'm going to do what I think I can do, and see what happens. So I took my 8:30 client. My 9 o'clock client didn't answer the phone, and so I used that time to rewrite the Learning Annex blurb. My 9:30 client had apparently sent me something that I never received that she wanted to talk about, so she asked if we could reschedule. And so then 9:30 to 10, I wrote the article for the UK magazine. Then I had my clients 10 to 11 and relaxed for 45 minutes or so, and am on the air now with you. So, A, to me, that's an argument for you can get an awful lot done if you're willing to let the universe help you. But B, does that count as busyness?
No, it doesn't count as busyness, because what you just beautifully told in the story is you had an intention for how your day was going to go. And notice also, listeners, that Michael checked in with himself. Did this feel can't talk this morning.
So you've been doing radio for a long time, have you?
Still, I was on the radio twice this morning already, for God's sakes. Did this still feel right? Did it still work for you? In other words, you just didn't blindly go with the plan, which was to take the relaxation hour or stay with your clients. You noticed, yeah, this is still right. This is still what I want to do. And whatever can get done for these people who have their last-minute problems will get done. So it's not, see, the beautiful part about what you just said, it's not what you do, but it's how you intentionally, consciously, mindfully did it.
And
there wasn't
actually
a sense of control or there was a lovely sense of joy and flow.
And actually, that is, for me, the joy of this kind of busyness. And I'm still calling it business because I haven't discovered the Berlin Wall yet, or at least haven't knocked it down. I must be on the east side.
No, you have knocked it down. You're on the other side. See, that's the whole point.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's it. But I think the thing for me that really makes it work is that contextualizing of the day. Deciding in advance, do you know what? This morning is going to be about peace. And I may have a million things to do, and I may do them all. But because I've decided that they're going to be about peace, they are.
And that's exactly what I've tried to do with this new book, The Life Organizer, is give people tools, simple tools and weekly tools, that they can begin to do that exact thing for themselves in their own way, which might be exactly the way you do it, or it might be a completely different way. And setting an intention is certainly one of those tools. And not in any, airy-fairy way, but just simply, okay, this morning's going to be about peace. And taking a moment to let that become real to you, perhaps by remembering a moment in which, or a time in your life when you felt peaceful, and bringing that into your heart and your body, so you can begin to resonate with that state, both internally with your body chemistry and your hormones and your heart rate, but also externally in the choices you make.
Okay, so riddle me this busy not believing in busyness woman. Okay, I'll come up with a better title for you. I'm sorry, that sucked. But sometimes when I look at the things that I'm taking on, so I've been playing a really fun game where I decided to see, and I'll do a radio show about this at some point in the next month or two. But I've been basically looking to see how easily can I create more money on demand. As
Love
opposed
it.
To sort of hoping and praying and all that good stuff, which I can do as well, but, was never quite as reliable. And it's been working incredibly well. And I've been noticing that part of me has been panicking that in the course of bringing in all this extra money, I'm taking on some extra work. And, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be too busy. I'm going to be too busy for my family. I'm going to be too busy for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally open to the idea that this whole busyness thing is a myth. But How does that relate to it? I could, capacity wise, in theory, when I look at my schedule, I don't work afternoons as a rule. I don't work evenings. I don't work Fridays, Saturdays. Work a little bit on Sundays. I effectively work maybe four to 5 hours 4 days a week. And I'm terrified of actually doing something like what I think most people listening probably do, which is put in 8, 10, 12-hour days, 5,
mm-hmm.
6, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, where's the line?
Well, let me go back and be clear that it's not that I don't believe that people are busy. It's that I don't believe the story that we can't change it, that we can't enjoy a morning like you enjoyed, that we can't choose the life that we want. And what you're talking about is the fear that somehow you're making too many commitments, and therefore, when it comes time to deliver, you're going to be overwhelmed, and you'll have to work more than 4 hours a day, you poor, pitiful creature.
Look, so, I know. I'm not really playing for sympathy here.
I know. You do it so well.
Have I mentioned I've got a cramp in my leg and my mother-in-law's
It's a good thing you're cute, because if you weren't cute, this wouldn't work. Okay, so the way that the process, or one of the processes in the book would work, or processes, perhaps I should say.
I think you should.
Is that you would look at, so for example, let's say today an email came in and someone said, you know, I really want you to speak in October at this conference, or I really want you to start writing a column for us every other month. And you know, maybe you gather some more information, and then you would sit with it and you would say, let me get into the present moment by, feeling my shirt against my, you know, six-pack abs. Oh, yeah, and just coming into the moment by feeling your body, right, or taking a deep breath or whatever you do. And then step two is feeling into your heart, into that wonderful heart brain that you have, those 40,000-plus neurons in your heart, and imagining a time in which you were really, really sure about the decisions you were making. You were just like you imagine maybe this morning, you know, where you were able to really feel very centered and trusting. Maybe a memory comes up, it may be an image, it just may be body sensations. And then you would ask yourself a question. Maybe a question like, what are the possible, you know, consequences or possibilities of taking this job or this writing this column? Or, you know, how do I feel about this? And there's a ton of questions in the book. I'm not coming up with a good one right now. And then you relax for a moment, 2 moments, 3 moments, and see what comes to you. And then you could follow through with whatever comes to you, and which also might mean looking at your calendar and going, how much time is this really going to take? How much time do I really have to put into it?
I think the thing that you say there that's really key, and if you want to get in and talk with Jen and I about how to fit it all in your own life, the number is to call 1-866-254-1579. I know some of you are already on hold, and we will get you on. But if you want to get in for the second or third segments, numbers again, 1-866-254-1579 from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And, of course, you can continue to listen to the show while you wait for us on the phones. The thing that comes up for me is taking that time, and it always works. You know, there's any time that I'm willing to take even 1 minute out to take 10 breaths or to just literally take a minute and go, okay, what do I know to do to just get more present with whatever I'm doing? The payoff is immediate and consistent, and yet it's one of the hardest things for me, even having done it hundreds and hundreds of times, and certainly for my clients to do. And in fact, I've actually said to clients in a call where I can tell that they're sort of spinning their heads out of control, okay, stop and take 10 breaths, and they go, I'm on a coaching call. I don't have time to stop and take 10 breaths.
I'm paying you to my time.
You know, okay, and
here's the difference. Here's the difference. The first thing you do is just do anything. I mean, I'm talking 1 second to connect with your body, because that brings you into the present moment, which brings you out of your head, which is telling you that you don't have time. Now, if I tell you to take 10 breaths, you're still in your head. But if you say, okay, first step, connect with body, and there's no right way to do it. Right? So lots of people feel their shirt against their skin. Some people take a deep breath. Some people just soften their belly. But you get to choose right in that moment. And the only direction is connect with your life force, connect with your body. Then your mind goes, oh, all right, well, God, what am I going to do to, like, get her not to do that? I can't think of anything. It's too late. You've already connected with your body. And then you're out of your mind, and you can do step two, which is connect with your heart. And those are the two steps that really make it different, and that's what makes it much more possible. And with time, of course, you create new neural pathways, which make it easier and easier to do in the future.
Which is actually quite brilliant.
Brilliant, and it's part of your new book that you're writing. Oh, you've already written it, haven't you?
Yes, coming out soon from Hay House, Feel Happy Now. But actually, that's coming out in April, May. We're still talking about that. We're talking with Jennifer Loudon, who is a life coach extraordinary. Extraordinaire, I think is
something.
The word I was reaching for there. Best-selling author of I thought it was called The Woman's Book of Comfort.
No,
it's called The Woman's Comfort Book.
Yeah.
And also her new book, The Life Organizer, A Woman's Guide to a Mindful Year. Now, in the next segment, because we're going to come up on a break, but in the next segment, I am going to have words with you about why this stuff is all supposed to be for women
Oh, good. I was hoping you would.
Because I do read your work, and I find it incredibly useful, and I would probably not have ever picked it up had I not had a chance to meet you, because, you know, it says woman on it, and I don't want people to think stuff about me. You know, because I'm totally insecure in my sexuality, but we know that. That's the topic of a whole nother show. And we're coming up on a break. If you want to get in the next segment with your questions about how you can fit it all in your own life, the number's to call 1-866-254-1579. Toll free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. If you're already on hold, we will get you on in the next segment. And thank you for listening. This is You Can Have What You Want.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Who is the best-selling author of The Woman's Comfort Book and also the author of The Life Organizer, A Woman's Guide to a Mindful Year. And you can learn more about that book and about Jennifer's work at her website, www.thelifeorganizer.com. And we are also talking with you, so we are going to go to the phones, and let's go to Sarah in Laguna Niguel. Sarah, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Well, you know, I'm pretty well organized. I've raised a set of twins for myself, and I'm getting my MBA in advertising and marketing. But it's just like, how do I fit it all in? How do I get the right job? How do I transform my life to, I'm going from being a mom into, like, being a kid again, in a sense, you know what I mean? I mean, I've always had that childhood funness about me, but it's
like Merlin.
I need to reinvent my life.
It's like Merlin. You're going backwards.
Yes.
Okay, Jen, how does she fit it all in?
So the question really doesn't sound like it's how do you fit it in. It's almost how do you accept what good fortune that you're creating. It almost sounds like it's happening, but you're not quite sure. Is it really okay to be this happy? Is it really okay to do what I want? Does that resonate, or oh my God, do I have it completely wrong?
Well, it's what resonates with me is that I want to be successful. I want to step into a new zone for myself. But
yeah, instead of the raging failure you are raising twins and getting an MBA.
Well, that's what I feel like. I go to these job interviews and I say, well, what have you done lately?
My God, do something with your life, woman.
Yes. Yes, that's how I kind of feel.
I think go ahead, Michael.
No. It's you're the guest.
I think one of the places I might start with the ideas in the book and the Life Organizer are looking at the chapter about story. How are you, how are you framing your accomplishments in your life? And you might say, well, what does that have to do with getting a job I want? But so much of how we present ourselves in the world is what we're telling ourselves about our past, about our future, about who we are in that moment. And so I think it's a really great idea to look at what are some of my complaints about myself and how do they reveal things that I'm telling myself which may not be true, and really beginning to look for the truth, which is I've raised twins successfully, I've gotten an MBA, and I'm sure I could make a list that was 5 pages long.
So what you're really saying is that self-talk, whatever my, what do you call that, dialogue, it needs to be switched.
Yeah, not even go so far as to say it's switched, because that immediately begins to make, and when I think of it that way, it makes me feel, ugh, I'm not good enough, I got to change something. But instead, just start looking for the ways that you are talking, let's just say, about getting the job, and then how might you look for some truth, some actual things that have happened in your life, things that you've accomplished or done, that you can rest in instead, that you can look for facts instead of the stories that you're telling yourself. We all tell ourselves stories. It's the way our brain works. There's nothing wrong with it. But it doesn't sound like you're telling yourself the most generative or fact-based stories. And that may be.
Well, I give myself a lot of credos for, you know, getting my BA and then my MBA by raising kids. But it's at the same time, it's like I don't know if I'm. I've just been knocking on a lot of doors, and it's like, I mean, I'm not finding anything that resonates with me. You know what I mean?
So, Sarah, let me ask you to do something that I just learned from my friend Jen Loudon.
Okay.
Go ahead and just take a moment to connect with your body.
Okay.
However you do that, you might do that by feeling the feeling of your shirt against your body. Mm-hmm. The feeling of your body against your chair if you're sitting, your feet against the floor if they're on the floor.
Okay.
And then just go from there. Connect with your heart. Tune into your heart. Think a happy thought, something that makes you smile, someone you love, someone that loves you. Activate that heart brain. And just go to your heart and just ask yourself, what would I love to do right now? Not in a year, not in 6 months. What would I love to do right now? What would I love to do today? What comes
take
up?
Take a walk on the beach.
Okay. So is that what you're going to do when after you've listened to the rest of our show? Obviously.
Oh, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. And you know what? It sounds daft, but my experience is it really is that simple. Now is how. It's one of my favorite phrases. It comes from a great book called A Rich Man's Secret, which is this lovely little spiritual novel by a guy named Ken Roberts. And basically the character just learns that whenever he asks, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do this? The voice in his head always comes back. Now is how. By just tuning into what's there right now and what you know to do or what you'd love to do right now, it just unfolds. And then you don't have to figure it all out. And then your mind can rest. And then what feels like busyness, and maybe this is my answer to Jen's original question about what is the Berlin Wall of busyness,
mm-hmm.
that wall is actually the wall of your mind. If your mind is at rest in the present, you're not busy. You have all the time in the world, and the only thing you have to do is whatever it is you're doing right now.
Exactly.
And the pieces, the way that that this will connect you to this job that you really want, it's going to build a sense of trust and faith that moment by moment, you're going to be able to keep checking in and seeing what is the right thing to say in this job interview or what is the right thing to do with my job search today? Well, what do I really want to do? Well, you know, I really want to go for a walk on the beach. And then maybe when you're walking on the beach, some great ideas will come to you about some places to look for a job or people to contact that you haven't thought of before or even what kind of job you want. Because I'm wondering if you're even clear about that.
And, of course, even if they don't, you'll have had a really nice walk on the beach.
Exactly.
So it's kind of let go and let God then.
Yeah, moment by moment.
Okay.
Yeah, and just recognizing that one of the ways that God does God's bit is through you, through inspired action and inspired ideas.
Yeah, but I also need, well, one of the things, the scary things is that, you know, living on this plane, we also have to take care of those financial things. So mm-hmm. That's kind of a major motivator as well.
Absolutely. And look, here's the reality check. Will taking a walk on the beach, which is what you'd love to do in the next hour, mean that you're going to be evicted from your house?
No.
Okay, so good. That's money's covered.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah.
You guys are great. Thanks so much.
Thanks for phoning
yeah.
in. And I don't know about you, Jim, but I that was actually great because that I find that so typical of the sort of both how people approach their lives. It's like, okay, I've got to figure it out. What am I going to do at 8? What am I going to do at 9? What am I going to do at 9:30? What am I going to do at 10?
What am I going to do in 5 years?
Exactly. And how tightly they hold everything and how simple, I mean, literally in the space of a couple of minutes, she was able to just let go of that enough to take the next step.
And you did that beautifully, and I really would like to take you on book tour with me because you do it better than I do. And, yeah.
I know.
But this is the Berlin Wall of busyness. We keep telling ourselves, no, 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 I can't do that, or I'll do it when I have the great job, or when I'm done with school, or when the kids are a certain age. And we just keep staying in the same place of running around in the gerbil wheel. And not trusting.
Absolutely.
And not listening to what really does. As you said, we're here for God to work through us. But we've got to listen to what the next step is that God wants us to do.
Okay, and the next step that God wants me to do is bring Louie onto the air. So, Louie, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hi, it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you.
I receive your email, and I listen to your show, so it's wonderful to be on. one thing that I've been working on a lot lately is really just uplifting myself and making myself happy. And, you know, I went through this period where I worked at it really hard. I was getting up every morning, doing affirmations, jogging, going to the gym. It was something amazing happened. And then this thing happened where all the things that I want to do just started becoming more real. And I started working on them and got really discouraged. And, I don't know, it just seemed like the happiness just kind of went away, that wonderful feeling where I felt invincible.
So just before Jim jumps in, there's something I want to it just jumped out at me as you said that. So when you worked on yourself really hard, everything in your life started working. And then when you started trying to work on your life, everything kind of fell apart.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it.
And I think that's also probably the answer to the question is, you know, go back to doing what works. You know, I mean, I'm talking from experience because I know when I first started really tapping into, you know, I don't necessarily use the phrase letting go and letting God, but to just not holding on so tightly to everything. The first thing that would happen is all this great stuff started happening and I was feeling good in myself because I was making a priority out of feeling good in myself and doing the things that I knew would nurture me. And all of a sudden, all this great stuff's coming in. And then it was like in my mind, I could almost hear myself saying to God, okay, you know, that's great. I'll take it from here. You know, thanks for bringing all this stuff. I'll take over now. And then, of course, it went back to being this incredibly stressful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So does that sort of fit with what you've just experienced in a very short space of time?
Yeah. And also one thing is I've been trying to go back to that place where I really work on myself with affirmation cards and spending time with my child self and really choosing my thoughts. And some of what I feel is like it's exhausting.
It sounds it the way you describe it. Jen, where do you come down with that on that whole area of when working on yourself starts to feel like work?
I come down on the side of reminding myself and my clients that really the first step is to know that there's nothing that needs to be fixed. There's nothing that needs to be changed. When we ask the question, who am I, that's how we find the divinity, right? The perfection that we already are, that part that's always observing, that's everything, every thought we have, every experience we have, is observed by this divinity, this piece of God that we are. And when we can remember that, we can find it, we can experience it with our bodies, with our hearts, then we can let go of that tightness of what we were talking about with the last caller and that sense of exhaustion of, I've got to hold it all together. I've got to work really hard. It's all up to me to keep this life going and to feel good. And that's just not sustainable. I want to go take a nap right now.
No, you're rolling. You're rolling.
What I want to invite you to do is to, you know, again, stop for this moment and let your shoulders just slip away, down away from your ears, and let whatever you're sitting on really support you for a moment. And just stop and bring into your heart that a moment in which you weren't doing anything to fix yourself or change yourself, and you just felt so good. Maybe you were floating down a river on an inner tube. Maybe you were making love. Maybe you were just hanging out, watching a fly clean itself. I don't know. And just stay there for a few moments. Rest there. And then ask yourself, you know, what's the next easiest step for me in my life? What's the next easiest step? Not 10 years from now, not tomorrow, but right now. I have been where you are many times. I'll probably be there later this afternoon, which is that idea of I literally feel sometimes like everything in my family, in my business, in my writing, when I lead retreats, it's all up to me. I've got to carry it all. And when I remember that, in fact, all I have to do is be a conduit for the energy of the universe, for God, I don't care what word we call it, I feel my whole body relax. My eyes get big again, and my mind gets wide, and suddenly new possibilities occur, and I'm not exhausted. What is it? How does that sit with you?
It just, as you spoke, it felt wonderful. You know, there's just much trying that I've been doing, and reading and studying, and even meditation can become trying, and then it just, you know, hearing you talk was like, oh gosh, yeah, stop trying, just.
And I think what's great about that, Louis, is it's so typical of what people do is they fall in love with the technique instead of remembering the intention behind the technique, which was I was doing all that meditating and affirming and intending in order to find peace in myself and create what I want in my life. And you know, the way that I've come to realize that I've done enough self-care for the day is I feel cared for in myself.
Yeah.
And instead of thinking, oh, I must do this many affirmations and I must do this many hours of meditation, I must do this. You know, first off, look, if that works for you or someone listening, that's fine. But for most people, it becomes another item on the to-do list. And instead of bringing the peace that enables all these wonderful things we're describing to come through us, it actually blocks the flow because, look, I'm too busy meditating to speak with God right now and receive his blessings. Could you come back later?
And we're too busy, you know, one of my, one of the spiritual teachers that I, revere and love to listen to and read is a man named Adishanti. And he very much talks about this, you know, that we need to, that when we become obsessed with, let's say, a particular form of meditation, counting our breaths or saying our mantras, that can actually block us sometimes for our entire lives from experiencing the grace of simply being present.
So, Louis, we're coming up on a break, but, Louis, the choice is yours. You can be blocked for your entire life or relax and really enjoy it. I'll leave you to decide over the break. Thank you for phoning in. Okay, and we will be back. Those of you who are on hold, please hang on. I will get you on in the next segment. And my very special guest again is Jennifer Loudon, best-selling author of the Woman's Comfort Book and the new book, The Life Organizer. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about fitting it all in. I'm talking with my very special guest, Jennifer Loudon, author of the Woman's Comfort Book and the new book, The Life Organizer, A Woman's Guide to a Mindful Year. And I'm going to just cross out woman's and go a person's guide to a mindful year. And we're going to go back to the phones to June in the Virgin Islands. June, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hi, you guys. Hi, Jen. My name's June. I think I'm going to get you and Michael to the Virgin Islands here in July.
I heard that. I'm pretty darn excited.
I'm more excited. But for now, just to stay on focus, because that happens to be what my question is about, for somebody who's a really go-getter and is doing, you know, has all these choices of things to do between writing a book and coaching clients and building online platforms and setting up other people's workshops and all this kind of thing, how does one stay focused when you're so overwhelmed that you end up doing nothing because there's just so much to do, you do nothing? How do you kind of discern what to put your attention on and stay there?
It's a brilliant question, and lots of people are in your boat because, again, we live in a time of unprecedented choice, and you're what I would call, you know, a Renaissance soul, which is a book by Margaret Lobenstein, about which you're somebody who has a lot of interest, right? You're a Leonardo da Vinci. There's a lot of us out there. And I want to say one thing, which is it's just as wonderful to be a Leonardo as it is to be, you know, I'm trying to think of someone in history who only did one thing. And, of course, no examples are coming to my mind because I only like Leonardos. So, first of all, I want you to rest in the delight of that and remember that as a place to come back to first and foremost when you're feeling overwhelmed. Because what happens to me when I'm in the place that you're talking about, and I'm sure it'll happen again later this afternoon, is that I start to beat myself up. I should be able to choose. I should be working forward. I should be moving forward on the novel or this or that. And that's the first place to get out of, just to come into that moment. However you do, it just might, you know, maybe just walking outside and looking up at the beautiful sky in the Virgin Islands, out the water, and saying, I am just as perfectly okay as that ocean right now. And it's wonderful that I have so many interests and passions. The next thing you might say to yourself is, I do not have to accomplish everything today, because as far as I know, I have a little bit more time in my life to do things. And I'm not kidding when I say I really want you to talk to yourself this way. Then the next thing I would do, and this is not just shameless self-promotion, but through, there's 52 sets of questions in the new book, The Life Organizer. And the idea is that every few days or every few weeks, you sit down and you jot down a few notes in response to these questions. And I would really, really suggest doing something like that for you. And you don't have to wait to get the book. You can start today by asking yourself, what are the four pots, P-O-T-S, that I want on my stove right now? I don't care if you have one of those six-burner Wolf ranges. You only get four in your imagination.
Okay.
And you get to only choose four pots. And then each day, or several times a day, or several times an hour, you get to check in with yourself using the process we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Connect with your body. Connect with your heart, remembering a time in which you felt really in love with yourself and connected and centered, just a feeling or a memory. And then ask yourself, which pot do I want to stir right now?
Right.
Or what is the easiest pot to stir? And if the pot analogy doesn't work, come up with another one.
But well, the easiest isn't always the right one.
Well, I don't know if that's true. Because let me tell you, people like you that are very talented often like to think that the only thing that matters in that moment or in the future is the thing that's the hardest to do. In other words, what's easy is suspect. And I don't know that God doesn't give us the things to do in life that are easy. And if we just take it one step at a time, I don't mean it's not scary. I don't mean don't have anxiety about it, but that it's a natural thing for you to do. But we often count that.
Let me go a sideways analogy, because my son is just transferred from pre-algebra to algebra.
Wow.
And he went from being an A student to flunking completely his first test and was absolutely freaked out by it. And in sitting down with him and going through his algebra homework with him yesterday, the thing he couldn't get his head around was that he could choose, when he had a formula and he was supposed to plug things into a formula, that it didn't matter what number he chose to start with, the formula would take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter if he started with 0 or 1 or 7 million. The formula would work exactly the same, regardless of what he put in. So he could choose the easiest math, the easiest numbers to use to solve the equations, the problems. And
right.
When he finally got that, it was like, you know, his face just transformed. Just waves of stress fell away, and he just went, I really get to pick? And that's what I want for you.
Right.
Is for you to be able to look at the pots and go, I get to choose which pot to stir.
And it's okay if it's the easiest step right now, because so often what we do that keeps us in the place where nothing gets done is we think it has to really matter. I have to choose the most important, the most momentous thing to do right now. And that is that's just overwhelming. It's like looking at the big picture. It's like when you decide you want to write a book and you get completely Twitter-pated because you're looking at writing the whole book instead
right.
of writing a paragraph.
Right.
Yeah. So you want to go back paragraph, word, sentence.
Right. Well, the other scary thing is things that I know I need to do that I can't do by myself, so I have to depend on somebody else to help me do it.
And why is that scary?
Well, it's really scary because I have to depend on somebody else to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So then that's a really wonderful place for you to work on what I spoke about with an earlier caller, which is what is your story? What is your story about counting on other people, and is it true? And I don't mean in the big global sense. I mean in the moment. Can I count on this assistant? Can I count on my husband? Can I count on this person to dry clean my clothes?
Right.
Have I ever had an experience in the past with this person? Oh, maybe I have. Well, what can I do differently this time? And instead, you're staying in the big picture of, oh, my God, I have to do it all myself. Well, let me tell you, I promise you, that's a really fast way to burn out your adrenals and get really exhausted, because I've done it.
Well, then I freeze and I do nothing. See, that's right back to the, you know, the question's gone full circle.
Mm-hmm. But the question hasn't gone full circle because you actually have a way out of it.
Yeah.
Just to stop in that moment and, you know, just give yourself a little hug, a little arm rub for a moment. Just come into the present moment by just feeling your body for a moment, taking a breath, softening that beautiful belly of yours, and then just feeling into your heart in a moment in which you were so trusting. You were so trusting of another human being. You felt, I mean, it may be the moment when you got married. It may be the moment when you fell in love with your husband. It may be the moment in which, you know, I don't know, you were looking into the eyes of someone you didn't even know.
Yeah.
And then ask yourself, what do I need to, what would I like to ask for from this person right now? What would I like to receive from this person right now? And see what comes up. See if you can allow something to occur to you. It doesn't have to be clear. It doesn't have to be big. It might be, I checked in with myself yesterday morning. I was feeling very, very resentful of my husband for something. And I got a piece of a rap song that my daughter's been listening to as my guidance. And it was, "You're in Charge." And I went, oh, you know, that's right. I'm in charge of keeping our romance going. That's the job that I've gotten in this relationship.
Right.
And you know what? It's okay. So.
This is going to be so exciting to work together here.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much for filling in, June. And
okay,
we're going to,
bye,
we're
Michael.
Actually,
thank you, Jen.
Bye.
Okay,
thank you.
And in fact, this wasn't planned, though perhaps it should have been, because it kind of makes sense because we're all on the radio together. But Jen and I will be doing a 3-day writer's intensive workshop in the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, on the weekend of the 21st of July. You are the very first people to be hearing about it. And so much so that we don't have the website up yet. But what you can do, if you want to learn more about that, is you can send an email to jennifer@comfortqueen.com. That's jennifer@comfortqueen.com. Just put a little note that you're interested in information about the Writer's Intensive, 3 days in the Virgin Islands with me, Michael Neal, and with Jennifer Ladin. And we will send that information along.
Okay,
Go.
So, you know, I know that we really want to do this writer's workshop, but I'm also thinking that, you know, we have this meld between our work that's been happening on this call that's gotten me really excited and awake, which is your work about, you know, you can have what you want, and my work about, you know, life organizing. And I wonder if that would be a match, too, for this workshop, just to put it out there, because I know we've been talking about what we want to do.
Oh, absolutely, and I think, and also, there are more than one workshop slot available in the year. And I mean, and again, it comes back to pots on the stove, but, and the pot that I'm gonna choose to stir in this last part of our time together here on the show is, alright, what have you got against men?
I don't have anything against men. I've been with the same one for 23 years. Oh, maybe that's what I have against it.
So can we look for a men's comfort book in the future? A human's guide to a mindful year? Or are you just so niched?
No, it's not that I'm niched. It's, you know, so much of my spiritual growth took off in my early, mid-20s, maybe 23, 24, when I discovered women's spirituality. Way back, I remember when the goddess was all big and juicy. And that was a real turning point for me and opened up a whole nother layer of my real first way that I connected with the divine. And so I became quite a strong feminist, and it's very much my background, too, because I never wanted, of course, to be my mom, who never got to have her own life, who never chose to have her own life. So I look at the world through that lens, and I see the extra issues or the different issues that women have to deal with around taking time for themselves and choosing their life. There's an issue of agency, Michael, that I just don't think most men have. I have to really work to believe that it's okay for me to have a life I love, and my husband doesn't. He may have other issues, like is he competent to do it, or does anybody want to hire him to do it? But he, you know, is he confident enough? You know, is he manly enough? You know, those are his issues. But my issues are, is it really okay for me to do more in the world? Is it okay for me to show up? Is it okay for me to have a voice? I look at artists, for example, someone like Andy Goldsworthy, the environmental sort of installation artist, and I just think, I wonder how many women would have sort of the wherewithal to say it's okay if I go out in the world and make stuff that's going to disappear in a few hours. I don't know. So that's why I wrote it for women.
No, and that's actually a magically wonderful answer. I like that much better than my publisher said it was a good niche. and I think it is one of those things, and what I'm just going to encourage, you know, to, you know, menfolk listening is, you know, if you put down your drum and stop thumping your chest for a moment, that do check out Jen's books, and particularly the new book, The Life Organizer, because they're... The information in there is valid, and actually, even reading it, it's, I'm sure if I read it as a woman, maybe I would go, oh my gosh, this is written for me as a woman, but it does translate. It's written in a way that as a man, I can also identify with and get value from.
Yes, and I've had a lot of men show up for my talks that I've been giving around the Puget Sound area. I have one next week in Portland, and you can find out more about that at comfortqueen.com. Stuff we're doing. And I've had men show up and say the same thing, like, hello, this is really useful. I'm going to use this. How come you wrote it for women? And I blushed and said, well, oh, you know, I'm sorry. Please use it.
Listen to the radio show. You'll hear me tell the story about women's spirituality and juicy goddesses. It'll
exactly.
Be fine. So, listen, Jen, we are coming up on the end of the show. I want to really thank you for being with me today. And I'm looking forward to working with you in the Virgin Islands and beyond as well. I liked that idea. And we'll talk more about that further. Again, if you want to hear more about Jen Loudon and her work, you can go to www.thelifeorganizer.com. You can also www.comfortqueen.com. You can find out about her talks. And if you want to find out more about the Virgin Islands training, you can send an email to jennifer@comfortqueen.com. And next week, I said I would do a show about this at some point in the future, and then I just looked at my schedule during the break and went, oh, it's next week. So next week I'm going to be doing a show called the 90-Day Money Challenge. How much extra money would you like to have 90 days from today? And so if you listen to that show live, you're going to learn the keys to creating wealth on your terms and on your schedule. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. If you're interested in the kind of work that I do and the kind of things I talk about, please check out my website at www.geniuscatalyst.com. You can sign up for the free newsletter, the MNCT. There's also daily and weekly tips, which are available free on the website, and a host of other things as well. Thanks for being with me. Lots of love, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.